Blog Talk Radio.
Saints, welcome to today's Seed Time and Harvest broadcast. I'm Bishop Hutchinson. I'm blessed and privileged and highly favored to have another opportunity to speak life to you today. Praise the Lord. We're so blessed to have this opportunity to come and minister to you today, saints of God, and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us. We're continuing with our series of studies dealing with Jesus in action. We're coming from the book of Mark, and we're going to be continuing with that series today with a lesson entitled, Jesus, the Christ Revealed. Subtopic, Who Do You Say That I Am? So I pray that you have your Bible, paper, pencils, be prepared, take notes, study along with us. We want you to be able to do this, saints, because we want you to search the scriptures to see whether the things that we say are so or not. Praise the Lord. It's a seasonal day here in the Atlanta metropolitan area. And we're praying for all those around the world who may be experiencing chaos and calamity and death and destruction. We know that this message about Jesus is more relevant than ever during these times of crisis, for he provides us a comforter and a counselor, and he's present with us at all times. So I pray for all bereaved families around the world, those who are facing hardships, that Jesus is Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I also want to send a shout out to all of our members of Christ Universal Church. I want to remind you, saints of God, of who you are in Christ, for you are a chosen priesthood. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So I speak life to all the members of Christ Universal Church, all of our partners with Amazing Grace Ministries, our students through Grace Bible College and Seminary, as well as all of our ministers in the Ambassador's Ministerial Fellowship. I speak abundant life over you today. Praise the Lord. Now, if you're going to be studying along with us, our study text today is going to be coming from the book of Mark, chapter 8. We're going to take a look at some scriptures from verse 27 through chapter 9, verse 13. Now, right now, let me go ahead and give you our key verse as well as our central truth for today's message. Our central truth today is that Jesus was, is, and always will be the Lord of all. And that's in spite of what may be going on in the world, whether that's good or bad or indifferent. Jesus was, is, and always will be the Lord of all. The key verse that we're looking at today is coming from Mark chapter 8. We're going to take a look at verse 29. Now, let's look at both the King James Version as well as the New International Version for your hearing today. The King James Version of Mark chapter 8, verse 29 reads, He saith unto them, he being Jesus, saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. The New International Version reads, But what about you? He asked, Who do you say I am? Peter answered, You are the Messiah. Hallelujah. Let us pray today as we look at this lesson, Christ Revealed. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we thank you for the magnificent splendor of your glory. We thank you for your majesty, your dominion, and your power. We thank you for your sovereignty. We thank you that you rule and reign over heaven and the earth. I thank you, Father, for each and every one of those who are listening to the sound and hearing my voice today. I thank you for their salvation. I thank you for making provision available for them. I thank you, Father, today for healing sick bodies and wounded souls today. May your word come alive, Father, as we realize the teaching of this lesson. May it become real to us. May you become real to each and every listener today. So I thank you today for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the power of your living word. And I thank you that your word lives in us. In Jesus' matchless name we pray and we say hallelujah, 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 somebody. Come on, praise the Lord. and amen. Glory to God. Again, saints, welcome to today's Seed Time and Harvest broadcast. We're going through a series of studies dealing with the book of Mark, where Mark depicted Jesus as a man of action. So we're going to see Jesus in action again today, causing revelation about who he is to his own disciples. And also, I'm praying that if he hasn't already manifested himself to you in a real way, that the revelation of Jesus Christ, of who he is, will come forth in your life today. Now, let me give you our phone number where we can be contacted about any of our ministries. Our phone number where we can be reached is 678-278-9622. Or you can visit our main website, which is Amazing Grace Ministries, www.agministries.net. We love to hear from you. We thank God for each and every one of our partners who are praying for us and supporting this ministry financially. Praise the Lord. Now, as we focus on this week's lesson, saints, about Jesus, the Christ revealed, we notice in this key verse that we read today that Jesus asked a question of his early disciples about, but who do you say that I am? And I want you to be able to answer that question yourself, that if someone were to ask you, who is Jesus, that you will be able to declare, right along with what the Peter has claimed in the scripture, that thou art the Christ, meaning that you are the anointed one, the Son of God, or the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. You are the Messiah, if you read from the NIV version, which is a Hebrew word for you are our deliverer. Praise the Lord. And some people may know him through the names of God, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God our Provider, but in the role of Jesus specifically, Jesus became the incarnate God. He became God in the flesh in order to take away the sins of the world, to claim back the authority and power that God has over the affairs of all of creation. And I want you to be able today to examine Jesus' revelation of himself, and I want you to believe in him. Yes, I don't want you just to have a knowledge of what he said. I want you to believe what he said, and I want you to believe in him as your Messiah. Believe him as the Christ, in your Christ, the anointed one who has power not only to rule and to reign over the affairs of all of God's creation, but specifically, he has the power to rule over your life and to give your life victory. So I pray that you'll be excited about this week's lesson. Now, if you're taking notes with us, there are 3 points of outline that I want to discuss with you today. The first point of outline is that Jesus recognized as Christ. And in that first section, we're going to talk about understanding who Jesus is and embracing who Jesus is. Our second point of outline, we will talk about the requirements for following Christ. And in that section, we'll talk about turning from selfishness and not being ashamed. And the third and final point of outline that I want to discuss with you today by the power of God is Jesus' divine nature revealed. We're going to see examples in Scripture how he was revealed in what's called the Transfiguration, and ultimately how he was revealed in resurrection. Praise the Lord. Someone say with me, Jesus, the Christ, revealed. So, also, saints, and now let's think about this week's lesson. There are things that we want you to be able to get from this. It's not enough. If anybody's familiar with this ministry, we know it's a teaching ministry. That means that we want to help others to understand. And so there are at least 3 things that I want you to get from this week's lesson, saints. Number one, I want you to be able to comprehend the meaning and importance of following Jesus wholeheartedly. And I want you, secondly, to evaluate your understanding of who Jesus is and how this relates to sharing him with those who do not know him. And third, I want you to ascertain the significance of what's called the Transfiguration and the Resurrection, and how it applies to our life today. Praise the Lord. So with all of our getting, let's get some understanding today about Jesus the Christ revealed, Who do you say that I am? Now, as we think about the introduction for this week's lesson, Saints of God, we understand that there is a debate over who Jesus is that has existed since his life and ministry on earth. We're going to see today that Jesus himself asked his disciples in the scripture that we just talked about the views that people held of him. We see that his disciples' answer in the beginning revealed different opinions about Jesus. Some people confused Jesus with a resurrected John the Baptist. Some said he was Elijah or one of the other prophets, if you will take a look at Mark chapter 8, verse 28. But then the key verse that we looked at today, we see Jesus asks their personal opinion of his identity in verse 29. And this is the area that we're going to deal with today. I pray the Holy Spirit minister. It's not about what others say about who Jesus is. Jesus is asking you directly, personally today, who do you say, call over somebody, who do you say he is? Now, we see in the case of Peter in the scripture, says Peter quickly affirmed Jesus to be the Christ, the Messiah. And this, Peter's declaration, saints, it was important because others in that day had failed to correctly identify Jesus, and soon their misunderstanding would lead to even greater and greater opposition. So regardless of the wide variety of views that people have about Jesus, whether some say he was just a historical figure, some say he was a legitimate prophet, and we're going to understand that he was much more than just an historical figure. He's much more than just a myth that you may have heard about in your youth, but you have discarded in your adulthood. So let's go along on this journey today, thanks to God, as we discover Jesus the Christ revealed. Now let's take a look at our first point of outline, and if you're studying along with us, you can get your Bibles and you can turn with us to the book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 27 through 30. Mark, chapter 8, verse 27 through 30. And we're going to see in these scriptures how Jesus was recognized as Christ or the Messiah. And those verses will explain to us, help us to understand who Jesus is. Here we are, I'm reading from the NIV, Mark, chapter 8, praise the Lord, verse 27. It says this: Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Then Peter answered, "You are the Christ," or the Messiah. And then Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. So, saints, we see here that even though there is still debate about Jesus, some believe he never existed, while others believe he did exist as a great teacher and philosopher, but nothing more. And it's interesting that among those who accept his existence, opinions run the gamut from a madman to a deity in being the Son of God. So, saints, we want you to know today that all who follow Jesus need to have a clear understanding of who Jesus is as well. For if we view him as less than Savior and Lord, then we will be misled by our selfish temptations and lured by appealing false doctrines. We need to understand today that being a follower of Christ means affirming him to be the eternal Son of God. Somebody ought to give him praise. Now, we see while Peter had correctly identified Jesus, the Savior, Jesus warned them about making such truth public at the time. And there were various views of who the Messiah was. Some expected him to bring deliverance from Roman rule, but he would present a far more difficult road for his followers to tread. We have to understand that following Jesus doesn't mean that things in this world will just automatically bow at your feet. But Jesus wanted his disciples to know, and many people in the earth today may be questioning, if God is in control, is sovereign, why does he allow things to happen? Well, God, in his sovereignty, created man in his image, which means that mankind has free will. God has sent his son Jesus to direct man's will toward God, that he will submit himself to him. And this is one of the key things that Jesus came to make clear to all of humanity, that though you have the opportunity to make choices for yourself, that not every choice is a choice that is pleasing and acceptable in God's eyesight. And so we see the devastation and the chaos of those who are walking out of the perfect will that God has commanded. For if we look at the instance of one of the most recent tragedies in Paris, France, we know that according to God's will, thou So we know that according to the will of God, that it is against his will, murder and killing and stealing and bearing false witness, all these things are against God's will. And Jesus, as God's son, as the Christ, as the Messiah, came to make this revelation much more clearer to humanity. Somebody needs to know today that we need Jesus. This world needs Jesus more than ever, thanks to God. And so this lesson today that we're talking about, Jesus the Christ revealed, is something that I pray each and every one of us will take to heart, as Jesus is the answer for humanity's sin. He's the answer for humanity's problems. He's the solution for humanity's problems. And so when we see Peter exclaim Jesus as the Christ, the anointed one, or as the Messiah deliverer, Jesus is as declared by these men. He is the one anointed with all power in heaven and earth. He is the Messiah who has come to deliver mankind from our own devices, our own following our own paths, that we may come back into the sovereignty of God. Somebody ought to give God praise. So even though Peter had correctly identified Jesus, Jesus warned them about the reasons for making it public, because some people had their own view of what they thought it meant. Many of the false ideas that existed regarding the suffering Savior meant that Jesus would conquer the Roman occupations, that he would liberate Israel politically. But Jesus did not come on a mission of politics. He came on a mission of personal salvation. And this is the first and key ingredient in changing humanity's direction, is to change the direction of your heart, the direction of your mind. And then that will control your attitude and your actions in the name of Jesus. So Jesus come to establish a kingdom, but that kingdom is first established inside of each and every person who recognize him as Peter recognized him, who recognized him as the Christ, those who recognize him as the Messiah, and not just the Christ and the Messiah, but he is Christ of your life. He is your personal Messiah. Hallelujah. For change, in order for the world to change, the people in the world have to change. So we pray today that this message goes across freely today. Now, if we continue reading in those verses, in verse 32, you'll see that Peter response illustrated somewhat of a false idea that existed concerning the Messiah. The concept of a suffering Messiah was abhorrent to Peter. So Jesus rebuked Peter by saying that you want to do the things that please man, but you don't want to do the things that please God. We see Jesus predicted his death, as Peter had just exclaimed Jesus as being the anointed one. The thing furthest from Peter's mind was that the Savior or the Messiah would perish. Here in verse 31, Mark 8, it says, he, Jesus, began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. See, so he spoke plainly about this, it says in verse 32. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Peter actually began to rebuke Jesus, saying, how could you say such a thing? As a Messiah and a Christ who is here to exude power and to deliver people, how could you say that the people that you come to deliver will have to see you perish? A lot of times, thanks to God, we have our own idea of what God ought to be. We try to put God in our own little box, the way that Peter, in this particular instance, tried to put Jesus in his own little box. But how many of you know God is not here to fit into our idea of God? He's not here to meet the standard that people may have set or the lack of standard they have set regarding God. For Jesus came, as he said in their scriptures, to show us the way, the truth, and the life. For no man goes to the Father except through him. We do not go through the Father by following our own particular church doctrine. We do not go into the Father by following our own set of beliefs. We do not go into the Father by following the crowd. We go into the Father by following the one who came from the Father, and there is only one person who qualifies for that statement, and that is Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise. Today we're looking at a series of studies in the book of Mark about Jesus in action. In this scripture we're seeing today that Jesus is the Christ revealed. Now, it's great to come to the revelation of knowing who Jesus is or making the declaration of who Jesus is, but then there's a next step in the process, thanks to God. Someone said to me, there's a next step. The next step for us, if we have recognized Jesus as the Christ or Messiah, now we need to understand the requirements for following him. And if you will look at Mark chapter 8, again, verses 34 through chapter 9, verse 1. Let's read a little bit here. It says in verse 34, then he called the crowds to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Verse 36, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit or lose their own soul? Or what can a person give in exchange for their soul? He goes on, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. We see in chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus said, truly I tell you, or verily, verily I say to you, some of you who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God has come with power. Hallelujah, thanks to God. So we see Jesus outlining in this particular text some of the requirements for following Jesus. Yes, the first thing we need to get is a revelation of who Jesus is. We need to recognize him as the Christ, the one with all power. We need to recognize him as the Messiah, our deliverer. And then once we have come to the realization that who Jesus is, now we must get in line with his will. And this is what Jesus is talking about here. Here are the requirements. How many of you know that just knowing God is not enough? How many know that just believing in Jesus is not enough? Jesus said, if you want to become my disciple, which means a follower. So there are some requirements for those who place their faith in Jesus as the Christ and the Messiah. The requirement is now become a disciple. Hallelujah. Which means you have to meet the requirements for following Christ. So we see now Jesus turned his attention to the crowd. He called all of them to follow him. And Jesus is still calling for people to follow him today. Perhaps he's calling you. Perhaps you've known Jesus, but you have not known that you need to follow him and what it means to follow him. So Jesus made it clear what this would entail. He said it would entail self-denial. It will entail sacrifice and a willingness to surrender one's very life. You see, the cross was and is symbolic of great suffering and shame. And to take up the cross is undeniably a call to follow what may be a very difficult path. But for those who ignore the call to follow Jesus, it is costly, as you see in verse 35 to 37. So, saints, listen to me today. Anyone who chooses to preserve his or her life by pursuing fleeting personal plans will discover, if they have not already discovered, that he or she has actually ignored and potentially forfeited something far greater, which is eternal life. So he says, what will a man gain if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? For things cannot save you, things cannot heal you, things cannot bring you peace, joy, and happiness. If it does, it only lasts for a temporary moment. We see here in the final verse of Mark 8, it brings Jesus' teaching to a conclusion, thanks to God. If we find ourselves too ashamed to follow Jesus, we must realize the consequences of our shame. See, when we stand before God after this life is ended, and this life will end, we will be rejected by him. So this idea of shame invokes images of what's called a closet Christian or closet Christianity, the kind of practice where we attempt to follow Jesus from a distance by avoiding the stigma, rejection, and self-denial that accompany a true disciple of Jesus Christ. So, saints, we are wise to count the cost of following Jesus, and then we should follow him no matter what the consequences. These are the requirements for following Christ. Yes, we can recognize Jesus as Christ. We can sing songs about him being Christ. But until we submit ourselves to following after Christ, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. So let's look at our third and final point of outline. Not only must we recognize Jesus as the Christ, follow the requirements that he has laid out for us, and then and only then will his divine nature be revealed to us. We see that Jesus had many people who followed him during the course of his life and ministry on earth, but his disciples stood with him when many others rejected him and ran away from him. And to those he revealed the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So I want you to know, saints, this is not dependent on who else goes along with you. This is not dependent on who's in agreement with you. This is dependent on the covenant or the agreement that you make with God today so that he can reveal his nature to you. Someone says, Jesus, reveal your nature to me. So as Jesus showed the next text in Mark about this transfiguration where Jesus was transformed into a glorious figure, they saw Elijah and Moses with Jesus. And there was only a few select disciples who witnessed this event. So regardless of how much they had known about Jesus up to that point, there was yet still more to reveal. Saints, today, regardless of what you may have heard, regardless of what you know or don't know about Jesus, there is more to be revealed. And I want you to become a true disciple of Jesus. I want you to follow him with your whole heart so that you can receive the divine revelation of God. So in light of this study, it is valuable that you ask yourself some basic questions. Do you understand with clarity who Jesus is? Are you focused on him, or do you live for self? Does your life exemplify the teaching and glorify Christ? As a follower of Jesus, saints, you must always be growing in your knowledge of and in your relationship with him. So I pray that you will find deeper wisdom about the Savior that you serve today, and that Christ will reveal himself as your personal Savior, Messiah, and Deliverer. Jesus the Christ revealed. May you be blessed and prosperous in Jesus' name. Amen.